Welcome back to Ready Player None, the only podcast with blast processing. We ended chapter 14 on a quite unusual note, in that I actually enjoyed it. Our hero Wade had a video conference with IOI's head of operations, Nolan Sorrento. Sorrento played hardball with Wade, trying to bribe him into showing him how to get the copper key. When Wade wouldn't bite, Sorrento blew up his home, killing Wade's remaining family members, and, to the best of his knowledge, Wade himself. Let's see what lasting consequences this has for our hero in Chapter 15. Logging back into the Oasis, Wade finds Ludus is swarming with Sixer gunships. He's on edge even though he knows it's a no PvP zone, so they can't hurt his avatar directly. He returns a call from H, who tells him that thousands of Sixers are on Ludus looking for the tomb. H blames IROC for blowing their cover. Wade confirms he really is to blame as he heard it from Nolan Sorrento himself, and tells H about the meeting. Wade confesses to H that he's freaking out, since IOI has killed a lot of people in the explosion. He says he's lucky that the Sixers didn't know that he'd never logs in from home. What about your family? It was my aunt's place. She's dead, I think. We weren't very close. This was a huge understatement, of course. My aunt Alice had never shown me much kindness, but she still hadn't deserved to die. But most of the wrenching guilt I now felt had to do with Mrs. Gilmore, and the knowledge that my actions had gotten her killed. She was one of the sweetest people I'd ever known. Ah, Wade does have a heart now he realizes his actions have consequences. I realized that I was sobbing. I muted my audio so H wouldn't hear, then took several deep breaths until I got myself under control again. Because that's a mentally healthy thing to do. H says they're going to make IOI pay, although Wade isn't sure how. H offers him a place to stay or some money, but Wade says no. H tells him not to blame himself for answering the email. They probably would have set off that bomb anyway. When Wade says he needs to warn the other Gunters who have found the copper key, H suggests the five of them meet in the basement at midnight. My mood brightened at the prospect of seeing Artemis again. Get some perspective, man. Everybody you've ever met has just died in a fiery explosion. Don't worry about getting your dick wet. Wade shows up to the basement about an hour early. H is already there watching the news feeds. Without saying a word, he got up and gave me a hug. Even though I couldn't actually feel it, I found it surprisingly comforting. See, that's more mentally healthy. Be emotionally vulnerable. With so much news coverage, it's not taking long for other Gunters to realise what's going on, and so Ludus is absolutely flooded not only with Sixers, but also every Gunter in the simulation. Artemis materialises in the basement, and they all greet each other. Artemis gives us our new terminology. Parzival, H, Artemis, Daito and Shoto are the top five Gunters on the scoreboard, and so they've been nicknamed the High Five. Artemis admires the basement's decor and compliments H on his design. You've recreated Morrow's basement perfectly, every last detail. Did we know it was Morrow's basement previously? H says she's got a permanent spot on the guest list. Thank you. You're the man, H. Yes, he said, smiling. It's true. I am. They really seemed to be hitting it off, and it was making me crazy jealous. I didn't want Artemis to like H, or vice versa. And if you thought that sentence was bad, get a load of this one. I wanted her all to myself. Women aren't property, Wade. Good grief. Daito and Shoto appear next. They're two outwardly Japanese-looking avatars, one in his late teens, the other maybe about 13. They bore a striking resemblance to one another, like snapshots of the same young man taken 5 years apart.
Because Asian people are so difficult to tell apart.
They wore matching suits of traditional samurai armor, and each had both a short wakizashi and a longer katana strapped to his belt. The taller one, Daito, speaks for the two of them, saying that the pair of samurais are honoured to meet them, and they all take turns bowing to each other reverently. Do you think these characters might be Japanese? H begins his briefing, telling everybody that the Sixers have invaded Ludus looking for the tomb. Actually, Artemis interrupted, they already found it, over 30 minutes ago. Daito tells her that hasn't been on the news feeds yet. Artemis shows them that she hid an uplink camera at the tomb's location and has been monitoring the situation. The flat-topped hill, home to the Tomb of Horrors, is now covered by a Sixer force field. Two force fields, in fact, that act in sequence like an airlock. Now only IOI-approved personnel can get in and out. The good news is they can't set traps like laser cannons or robot sentries, because Ludus is a non-PvP zone. But the bad news is, somehow that also means the Gunters can attack the force field with RPGs, fireballs, cluster bombs, nukes, turning the forest into a wasteland. So I guess the PvP rules don't apply to the force fields? Are they going to stop working the instant the force field breaks? Sorry, I'm drifting. So someone, it's not certain who, says that Sixer avatars are going to farm the copper key and go through the first gate like a conga line. But how can they do this? Shoto asked, his young voice brimming with rage. He looked to his brother, It's not fair! They're not playing fair! Daito tells him there are no laws in the Oasis. The Sixers have no honour, Shoto said, scowling. Those Japanese people and their obsession with honour. Wade tells them all about the chatroom session with Sorrento, ending with his attempted assassination. He wants this to serve as a warning for the other members to conceal their identities. When Artemis asks how the Sixers knew to look on Ludus, Shoto blurts out about the rumours on the Gunter message boards. That was how the two of them had thought to look on Ludus. It never occurred to me that attending school on Ludus was something I needed to keep a secret, I said, so I didn't. So it's thanks to Wade that H, Daito and Shoto all found the copper key. Daito nudged his younger brother, and they both faced me and bowed. These Japanese people always bowing. Wade and H bump fists over their mutual joust experience. And Daito and Shoto had a similar story. Great, Artemis said, throwing up her hands. Good for you guys. You were all prepared in advance. I'm so happy for you. Bravo! She gave us all a sarcastic golf clap which made everyone laugh. Now, can we adjourn the Mutual Admiration Society and get back to the topic at hand? That's what I'm saying in my head whenever this book grinds to a halt to talk about 80s pop culture references. Daito and Shoto tell them that they got the copper key at the same time, because when they were both in the chamber, there were two kings and two arcade cabinets. Great, Artemis said. So it might be possible for hundreds of Sixers to joust for the copper key at the same time, or even thousands. And with their modular immersion rigs, they can tag in their best joust players at any opportunity. The Sixers have no honour, Daito said, shaking his head. Yeah, Artemis said, rolling her eyes. We've established that. We've established that they're Japanese. With the amount of experts they've got at IOI, the war game simulation is going to be a piece of cake for them as well. Wade says they're truly outnumbered and outgunned. Daito takes this as a slight. If Wade's suggesting an alliance, he and his brother work alone. We don't want or need your help. Oh really? H said. A second ago, you admitted needing Parzival's help to find the Tomb of Horrors. Daito's eyes narrowed. We would have found it on our own eventually. Right, H said. It probably would have only taken you another 5 years. This leads to a standoff. Daito severs his ties with them. For all we know, any one of you could be a Sixer spy. Artemis laughs uncertainly at the suggestion. The two brothers abruptly log out. The remaining three Gunters all blame each other, only confirming that each of them, in their own way, work alone. Artemis tells them the clock is ticking and logs out herself, in a friendly rival sort of way. Now she's gone, H ribs Wade about his obvious crush on her. You were making googly eyes at her the whole time she was here. He did his best impression of this, clasping both hands to his chest and batting his eyelashes like a silent film star. The two confirm that neither of them has had much luck deciphering the Jade Key riddle. But their conversation is interrupted. Just then, a stack of comic books on the other side of the room slid off the end table where they were piled and crashed to the floor, as if something had knocked them over. H and I both jumped, then exchanged confused looks. H suggests it was a software glitch, but Wade's never seen a glitch like that. Could someone else be in here? An invisible avatar eavesdropping on us? H dismisses him as paranoid, insisting it's just a glitch, but Wade's still uncertain. Once again, H offers him a loan or a place to crash, but Wade says he's alright. We bumped fists again, like the Wonder Twins activating their powers. Doesn't everybody hate the Wonder Twins? Nice work comparing your two main characters to nobody's favourite super friends. I'll catch you later. Good luck, Z. Same to you, H. End chapter 15. So that was another fun chapter of characters stood around talking to each other. I understand it was there for pacing reasons, but taking the chapters as separate episodes does mean that sometimes you have ones where nothing happens. And here was I mortified I'd enjoyed the previous chapter. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have met these two new characters, two similar-looking Japanese people, dressed like samurai, named after swords, who are obsessed with honour. Which do we think is worse, that Ernest Cline's idea of writing a Japanese person is to do it as a collection of stereotypes? Or the possibility that these are two white players playing as Japanese avatars, and it's in-universe racism? Answer that question in the comments below! If you want to show your honour, you can follow me on Twitter at TheLastGherkin, or follow the show on Twitter at RPN_pod. Watch along with subtitles on YouTube, The Last Gherkin, or get an MP3 download at thelastgherkin.podbean.com. I'll be seeing you next chapter, when we find our sixth top gunter, Clint, a man from America. He's an overweight cowboy who eats burgers and is obsessed with a right to arm bears. He always salutes the flag, baby. Did you hear my toe click then?